And now it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the bullpen here on a Friday. Thursday.
Day after hump day.
My bad. Thursday. Tomorrow we will be back for the Friday version of this.
Feels like it should be a Friday.
Yeah, it should. And you know why? There's football today.
Yep.
The Aggies are opening their football season tonight against Weber State.
And that means nothing else can go down today.
Right? Absolutely nothing. Now, there are some other college football games as well. But, I mean, that's the biggest thing. So, if you haven't gotten tickets yet, I don't know if you'll be able to, but you should definitely try because the games are awesome. It's going to be the debut for our new, like the new stuff at our stadium, with the new scoreboards and the press box. It's going to be awesome, off the hook, I would say even.
Yeah.
And I am super stoked for the entire thing. And we're also hoping to debut a pregame show today. Depending on how things go, we're planning on doing it. If we're not able to do it this week, we will for sure be doing them for all the home games and hopefully the away games as well. And the fun thing is, next week, we travel to USC to play them. And, you know, some of us from student media get to go and do an exchange with the USC student media. Just, like, kind of exchange of ideas and see how each other does what they're doing. And we get to be there for the USC game. And hopefully we'll be able to do a pregame from there. But, once again, that's tentative and can't guarantee that's going to happen yet just because of logistics. There's a lot of things in play, but we are hoping to do that. And if we do, that would be super awesome. But yeah, so today we have some news, and we're going to, of course, do Wall of Shame, Doomsday, and our main event, which is what we're calling our big story thing that we're going to do for about the second half of the hour. And in that main event, we're going to do kind of a preview for our football team this year. And I'm super excited. I love football. Especially, I know that I know Evan's not maybe as into football. I mean, I know you like it well.
Yeah,
enough.
Yeah. I'm a casual fan.
Yeah, I'm so. Way not casual.
Yeah.
As in, like when I'm chilling. I mean, lately I've been just listening to a bunch of podcasts about football. Well, they're mostly about football because football season is starting. But yeah, I love watching football. It's the greatest. The greatest to watch. Yeah. But Evan over here is kind of more into baseball, so I'm sure he's enjoying tons of baseball at the moment.
Although I enjoy any exciting game come out of the sport, so yeah. Should be good this year.
So yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. So yeah, if you once again, it's game day. Super stoked. Make sure you go to the game if you can. And if you can't, here's a cool thing that our game tonight will be the first game broadcast on Twitter in the history of Twitter. The first college football game broadcast on Twitter.
Really?
So if you can't make it to the game, if you couldn't get tickets or whatever, make sure you go to Twitter. You can watch the game there.
Wow.
For free.
That's pretty sweet.
I believe. I don't think they're charging anything. Especially not where it's kind of a test run. But the cool thing is, like, if Twitter becomes a huge thing, a huge deal, playing games on Twitter, then we'll have been in the first game for it. And they're going to look to us more than Weber State because, A, we're hosting it, and also we're a bigger school. But either way.
Yeah. That'll be one for the history books.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So.
And I'm super stoked for it. But yeah, I guess we're going to jump into some news right now.
Yeah.
I guess I'll let you lead off on this one. Do you have any baseball news particularly or anything in particular that you feel that we need to share?
Nothing big in baseball, although there is some Big 12 rumors.
So the Big 12, as we've mentioned in previous shows, they have been talking about expanding this year finally after, you know, not wanting to do it ever. And they're finally like, yeah, okay, we'll talk about expanding. And they've narrowed down their field of potential candidates for it to 12 teams. Before it was like 21 or something crazy. Yeah. They cut off a few teams, so maybe they're getting serious about it.
Yeah, so I think BYU made the cut, although Boise State is not on the list, at least.
I mean,
according to the rumors, you know.
Yeah, so. There was the list. I don't remember everyone who was on it. I know Air Force was still on it.
Yeah, it was a lot of the American Athletic Conference. So,
well, Air Force and San Diego State aren't in the American Conference, but you are correct. I think.
I think it was eight teams
from the American Conference are still in contention, according to the report. Either way, we'll see there. Also, another one that they cut off that was kind of surprising was Memphis. They thought they had a better chance than that. But yeah, so the 12 schools that the sources told ESPN were Air Force, BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, Colorado State, UConn, Houston, Rice, South Florida, SMU, Temple, and Tulane. So I was mistaken about which Mountain West team was the second one, but was Air Force and Colorado State, not San Diego State, which I'm not surprised. I didn't really think of San Diego State as a real contender.
Yeah.
Just because they're a little ways away from everyone else in the Big 12. I think that's the same problem for Boise State. I guess another problem for Boise State is their academics, because they aren't really well known for having good academics. In fact, most of the time they're known for the opposite, that their academics aren't very good.
That can hamper you. That can hamper you these days.
Yeah, it can. And so I think that was a big part of why they didn't go, plus their distance from the rest of the Big 12. And I know BYU is not a ton closer, but it's still a few hours closer, probably about, I want to say, 5 or 6 hours closer.
Plus, I just think they've been in the conversation for joining longer.
Yeah, and plus, BYU does have a lot to offer. I think this report kind of negates the idea that suddenly BYU was not going to be an option for the Big 12 after the whole thing where the LGBT group came out and said that they strongly suggested that they shouldn't be included. And, as it is,
oh well,
I think that it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think BYU is going to be one of the teams that gets in. If they take them, probably Houston. And if they're smart, they'll take 4 teams, not 2. And if they go to 4, I think after that, you probably add, looking at this, Cincinnati is another one that would be a good one for them to add, I think. And then to go as well, they might even throw in Air Force for football. Not for the rest of them, just football. Honestly, they're not any good at anything else. They do a good job with football, but other than that, they're not very good. And for those, I guess, going back to clarify the because we did have a text in asking about what the LGBT groups say about BYU, is that they said based on their honor code that they discriminate against players and coaches who might be LGBT, for visiting people mostly, I think is what it was about.
Yeah.
And even it was though, really, they said it was like kind of not an unsafe, but I mean, maybe kind of an unsafe environment for anyone who is LGBT. But for me, I didn't see this as a problem because, they have that honor code for the students that are attending there. Yeah. That doesn't apply to people going to games. They don't go through and say, hey, are you
LGBT? And it certainly doesn't apply to visiting.
Okay, you can't be here.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't apply to visiting teams coming there either.
No, it definitely doesn't. And there's not really – I mean, it's just really up to the religious standards of a religious school.
Well, plus, I mean –
if you're going there.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12 already has Baylor. And I've looked up Baylor, and they have a similar honor code for their.
They do. I know that they did recently a few years ago, come out with something that was saying, there'll be like absolutely no discrimination against them.
Yeah.
And BYU doesn't necessarily have one that anything that says that, but being a member of the church that runs BYU, I know that it's. We're encouraged to be nice to everybody and stuff.
Yeah.
And even if we don't agree with your choices, we're not supposed to treat you differently. Obviously, there will be exceptions. Some people have a hard time being kind to people when they don't agree with them. And that could be a problem with people. But honestly, how's that going to come up?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you're to a same-sex couple and you kiss during the game, people might notice, but are they really going to be paying that much attention? Yeah. Mostly, they'll probably look at you disapprovingly. I don't think they're going to say anything.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and teams come into town, they play their game, and then they're gone. I mean, it's not like they're vacationing in Provo for the week, you know?
And even with that, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as – if you're not attending there, the honor code doesn't apply to you.
Yeah.
Like, there's an entire another university that's right there in UVU that they don't have to follow the honor code of BYU just because they're there. So I thought it was kind of I guess it didn't make sense to me that they were that upset about it because, yeah, I get that BYU doesn't really support – the idea of, you know, LGBTs, like people that are identify in any of those categories, as far as them acting on it, they don't discriminate against you because you have those feelings and like those urges, but they will say that, yeah, we believe you're not supposed to act on that, and that can be hard, and we could go on and talk about this for a while, but I do kind of want to move on.
Yeah,
but for me, I didn't see that as being a problem for people that are coming to visit. Yeah. So I didn't think it would really detract them. And if it did, I think they wouldn't be on this cut. So I don't think the Big 12 thought that was...
Oh, yeah.
That was something that they would have to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, because the Big 12 people are looking at every school, seeing how it's going to affect the brand of the conference. So, I mean, it's not like they haven't thought through all these potential scenarios anyway. I would assume that, you know.
Yeah, and BYU does have a lot to offer. I think that they will get in. Yeah. But we will see. The final decision will probably happen next month because it's now September. It'll happen in October when they meet. It's, I think, October 12th or 21st. I don't remember which order those were in.
Yeah.
But the Big 12 commissioner and, like, presidents will meet and decide on that. So, yeah. That is a little bit about that. So that came out recently. And then I guess there is a thing on ESPN that says, is September a Big 12 audition for BYU in Houston? And if it is, I'm kind of worried for BYU's chances.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to fare well this month. I think that they're going to go 0-4 this month.
They were our first doomsday, weren't they? No, they weren't. I feel like
I don't think we've done a doomsday for them.
Okay, well, we did something where it's like we looked at their schedule and we were like, this looks a little shaky.
You know, we're going to do a doomsday for them today.
Yeah,
we're going to make that happen.
Yeah.
Because
I remember this coming up before. Not? Maybe it was off the air, but I do remember us looking at the schedule.
I think it was just when we were kind of – I think we were just looking at the schedule. I don't remember if it was on air on this show. I have done it, talked about it on other shows, but I don't think I have on this one. But, yeah, so we're going to do that for our doomsday today. And that will be in a few minutes. But I guess going on, do you have stuff from baseball?
Other than that, it's just heating up for some pennant races. I know we've got the NL West, Dodgers and Giants, like a game and a half separated from each other.
Yeah.
So that's getting exciting. I think, in my opinion, that's the most exciting pennant race or divisional race right now. AL East is all right, but it's kind of like, I wouldn't say mediocre because they are decent teams, but like not great teams battling it out to see who wins. So no, I would just say as we kind of approach the playoffs, I think the NL West is the division to watch. So
yeah, I think so, because it's really the tightest race.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean,
and it will be going forward, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So I think both teams are going to make it to the playoffs. It's just a matter of, do they have to play a wild card game and be the number four seed, or are they going to be able to have the divisional round and possibly host? So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Some other news. Mike Trout was in a serious highway crash last night, but he feels fine.
Okay.
So apparently he was uninjured. Sounds like his car was not. Probably had a...
The car is going on the disabled list.
Yeah, he's going to go... No, actually, I heard that he was going to go on the disabled list, but the Braves actually asked to sign him, so.
Oh, thank goodness.
To join their train
wreck. We'll take an injured Mike Trout.
No, not Mike Trout. His car.
Oh, the car.
His car. because my Atlanta's already a train wreck, so we'll see how that goes. Also, Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver for the New York Jets, says that the Bears traded him for doing TV work. They didn't like him being on, like, going on and doing NFL Network stuff, which I guess is their prerogative, whatever. And I think he's probably fine in New York because they like having attention and all that because it's New York. But I'm kind of surprised by that. I would think that Chicago, I guess maybe it's probably because it's the organization. The city of Chicago, I wouldn't be surprised for people having publicity and being in the media and everything. But yeah, I would say that the Bears organization probably wasn't too happy about it. But I figured he would have had it cleared beforehand. So this came as a surprise to me when I saw that this morning. But yeah, we'll see how everything goes with that. Yeah, we've got a lot going on. Tomorrow we are going to preview some college football, just so you're aware.
Some playoff stuff.
Playoffs?
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 Talk about playoffs.
Talking about playoffs? Are you kidding me? but, yeah, so that's how that's going.
Yeah. Now it's time for the Wall of Shame. 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 Shame.
Shame.
Ding, ding,
ding. Shame. 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 Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
I feel like that intro gets quieter every week. I'm going to have to check that out because it just seems people, like it doesn't make as much
people listening in their car are like, what are they doing? They're just pausing their show and there's something faint going on in the background.
Yeah. So, as just demonstrated, we're in the Wall of Shame if you couldn't hear it.
If you're playing along at home.
But yeah, so if you haven't heard the show before, the Wall of Shame is where we basically take things that athletes or people related to sports have done, especially when they're during a game or whatever, something that they did stupid, and we put them on the Wall of Shame for doing something stupid.
Yeah.
So, do you want to lead off on this one?
Yeah, I've got one.
Like I used lead off. Because you like baseball.
Hey.
Oh,
that's just how sharp we are here at the bullpen.
Yeah.
At Which least how we pretend to reference. Be sharp. Yeah.
Well, also, and an Aggie reference because, you know, the Bull is our mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Layers of witty, witty banter here. No, I don't know. Let's just bring up the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. I don't know. Just the whole thing, I just think, has been so. I don't know. I just hate it. Like when I turned on the NFL to, you know, to watch football, you know, and just all this political stuff comes into it and I just
And
hate it anyway.
And so if you don't know what he's talking about,
probably should explain that.
I'd be really surprised if you didn't.
But it's everywhere.
If you don't know what he's talking about, Colin Kaepernick last week decided that he was not going to stand for the national anthem. And he had apparently done it the two previous weeks as well. However, he wasn't suited up, so people didn't really notice that he wasn't standing for the national anthem. And he said, you know, more or less that he wouldn't stand for a flag that represented, like, the oppression of black people and people of color. And he hasn't backed down from it. He says he's going to continue to do it until he feels like something has changed. And I guess I do want to get your take on it.
Yeah.
Because I thought about putting him in the Wall of Shame, but at the same time, I don't know if it's – I think it's kind of bigger than that. But I want to get your take on it.
It might be. I think part of my reasoning was just how – I think it got overblown in all directions, like whether people were for or against it. I just think it got turned into this thing. Second off, I mean, he's a multimillionaire NFL player. I mean, doing something like this – is not like I don't feel it's as risky for him to take these kind of stands. I mean, it doesn't cost him.
I mean, doesn't his salary is guaranteed?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't cost him really in much. I don't know. And then it's like the whole social media reaction to it. It's just like, okay. I mean, I get it. He's got the right to stand or not stand or whatever he wants to do. But yeah. I don't think it didn't. Like cost him socially, really. I don't feel like it didn't. Obviously, didn't cost him financially. I mean, it's hard for me to think someone is that courageous when it doesn't really. It's not risky for them to do that, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it is kind of courageous because, I mean, there has been a lot of backlash, as our station manager just texted in and said it may cost him millions in endorsements. But there was definitely a big negative backlash when he first did it. And then lately there's actually been a decent amount of support from people that are like, that used to be in the military or are in the military, saying, you know, while we might not agree with what he's doing, we will say like it is his right to do that. And people have made the argument that, you know, he should stand because, you know, people have died so that he has the opportunity to be free. And that is true, but at the same time, they also were dying for his right to decide if he wanted to stand or sit.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that he should stand. I get why he says he's not doing it, and I get that it's his decision. I personally, I get a sense of pride when I stand to be an American. I get really, yeah, America sometimes. I'm not real excited about the upcoming elections. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, it's his right to not stand. And I don't agree with the not standing and everything.
Yeah.
But he's trying to make a statement, and that is a good way to do it.
Yeah, and I guess it's just like, speaking of like when we stand for it, it's like nobody, I don't know. I also feel like nobody stands up to acknowledge the national anthem thinking that like we're a perfect country. I mean, we all know we've got, you know, skeletons in our closet.
Yeah.
But there's still something like that it embodies as well, you know.
Because, I mean, yeah, he's standing up because of, you know, the most of it, I guess, his stance is about believing that there are a lot of corrupt police officers who are getting away with murder is one thing that he said, and getting paid vacation, and that there are bodies in the street is another thing that he said. And, you know, he's not wrong. There are some instances. I think that the way he's portraying it makes it sound like it's even more widespread than it is. And something definitely has to happen with that situation. But the thing about it for me, the thing I think about is, yeah, there's those problems, but the national anthem and the flag, I think, kind of unite everybody who considers themselves an American. I mean, for me, I get why he's doing it, and it's totally his right to do it. But for me, I think about it like, you know, when everybody stands together and puts their hand on their heart, like, it binds. I mean, we're all kind of unified for a minute. And obviously there's stuff we all have to work on. There's no escaping that.
And nobody's denying that either, too.
I mean. But, yeah, I feel like there's, I don't know that this is the best way for him to go about this.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm not saying I know what would be the best way, because I don't. But I just don't feel like this is really going to amount to anything. Yeah. Because, like, I don't know. It might. But I don't see it as being that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so maybe, like, the reasoning was for his inclusion in the Wall of Shame wasn't so much his own actions. I just think it was how
the,
it blew
the situation,
up. I think, I think it just blew up on social media and became this, like, big thing when I'm just not impressed with it. I mean, yeah, it may cost him in endorsements, but, I mean, I don't know. When you're already, like,
he's already struggling to even, you know, beat out Blaine Gabbert for the starting
spot.
So
he saved his job. He may have saved his job, you know, because they're not going to, you know.
Well, I mean, he might not have. He might get cut so that they don't have to pay him a salary next year. He's already got a salary guaranteed this year.
Yeah.
And if they don't think he's going to play, they don't want him to get injured so that his money becomes guaranteed next year. That's something that may happen.
Yeah.
It might not. And people will say that it's because of his stance right here, and that's not it.
Yeah.
He's not performing for football. The football side of things. So that would be the reason why they cut him. They're not going to cut him because of this. They've already stood behind him and said, you know, he's made that decision, and that's, you know, we're not going to say he can't do that because it is his decision.
Yeah.
I think there are better ways for him to protest. You know, he could refuse to take money from, you know, people or whatever. He could do a lot of different things. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. But yeah, I will agree. Just, we'll put the entire situation, both backlash and like the whole war of words that's going on, and we'll put that on the wall of shame because it's just it's making things, I don't know, a lot more.
I mean, yeah, it's
I don't know, blown out
it's
of proportion.
A sport, you know,
one way and the other. So
it's a game.
Kind of heading
so,
towards extremes instead of trying to work together.
Well, yeah, and it's like it's trying to mix politics and sports. You know, it's just kind of a drag. And I think
it
politics
is,
are important, but I just don't think the field is the best place to.
But at the same time,
things,
if you want to be if you want to help make change, like as a professional athlete, you've got to use the platform that you have.
True.
And so, I mean, while it is kind of annoying, and I will agree with you on that, I mean, that's where, you know, someone who's a professional athlete, you know, they can make, they've got, when they have the most eyes on them is when they're going to make the biggest difference. And maybe this will end up leading to some, like, changes or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. But I do want to move on to my entry for the Wall of Shame. It's actually the NFL. Because
'tis the season.
Because of the whole Al Jazeera report that came out and said that Peyton Manning and James Harrison and Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers had all been taking PEDs. And then, like, shortly after that came out, like, there was a bunch of heat on, like, Peyton Manning. And then it came out, the guy recanted his story and said he made it up. NFL continued to pursue it. They cleared Peyton Manning. They continued to pursue it with the other three guys. And I think there were more people named in the report, but those are the big names. And they were kind of sort of holding those guys hostage without having any evidence. Mm. And the entire, like, the channel, like, collapsed, like, in the course of this thing. Like, they folded up shop and closed down that channel because, I mean, it was a completely falsified report. Mm. And still the NFL pursued it until just this week they finally cleared the other three guys of any wrongdoing. But the thing that I'm putting the NFL on the wall of shame is not because they were trying to find out if it was true, because that is important. If you if there's a source that's saying that people are taking PEDs, you need to follow that and see where it goes. But when there's absolutely no evidence, don't keep holding on to it and making it more complicated for these different players who are some of your big names that are getting your league a lot of money.
Well,
when there's no evidence.
Yeah, like, without that report, would they have even thought of, you know, I don't, would they even have thought of looking into those players anyway, you know?
Yeah, and there is, like, I don't know. I thought it was dumb just because there was no evidence. They were kind of holding them hostage, saying, like, look, if you don't come in and get interviewed, like, we're going to suspend you. Yeah. And the whole thing is just kind of dumb.
Yeah, and I mean, you obviously know football much better than I do. I mean, are PEDs a problem in the NFL? I mean, we hear about stuff like steroids in baseball, but is it even really a thing in the NFL? I mean, I don't ever hear it, but I'm just a casual follower of the game.
Yeah, I don't know. There's, I think for the most part, they've got things under control and everything, but just holding on to the Al Jazeera report for that long and just still trying to make something out of it when the guy recanted his story, the channel
imploded,
and you're still holding on to it months later when you haven't found a single shred of evidence, and you think that interviewing players is suddenly going to change that, and you're so adamant that you have to interview them that, you know, A, you won't go to them and not interrupt their training camp. You make them go to you, to the league office. It's, to me, it's ridiculous, and that's why they're going on the wall of shame.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't have any more interest for the wall of shame today, do you?
No, not really.
All right, well, moving on. Man, things are going so great. I don't even think they could be any better.
There's no way we can screw this up.
Not even us.
Or can we?
It's doomsday time.
Doomsday scenarios left and right.
All right. Today's doomsday, as we mentioned earlier, is going to be BYU football.
How wonderful this whole
field
is.
Our friends slash not friends to the south.
That school in Provo, as they like to say at the
That school
the
in the land of the smug. there's also a lot of smug in San Francisco, so I guess we could be talking about other schools over there, too.
It's just smug day.
I don't know if I'd consider Stanford smug. Maybe they are, because you have to be really smart to get there.
Yeah.
But the city of San Francisco, I mean, if you ever watched South Park, there was an episode where they had a big smug cloud because they were all driving their hybrids and stuff. And it ended up they ended up bringing back the idea of using hybrids to South Park in Colorado. And they started developing a smug cloud, and they ended up merging and ended up causing a ton of destruction and stuff. It was funny. Anyway, that's why I always think of BYU and smug cloud. Because there is that bad air quality in Utah here, so we like to say the part down there. But
a very apt image, actually, as it turns out.
But so BYU, as we mentioned earlier, they're hoping to get into the Big 12, and as it said on that, you know, the story on ESPN, that it could be a testing ground.
This is their tryout
for September, like before the Big 12 people meet in October. To decide.
Sadly, this is their chance.
If this is their chance, the sad thing is this doomsday scenario is going to be realistic.
Yeah. I think what it does, it takes a little bit from the sort of fantastical side, but does up the sweetness factor, because this is like sweet justice for us USU fans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I could be completely off on my predictions here. But I think the majority of these are going to be how it happens. So, BYU starts out the season. They take on Arizona.
Mm.
I say they lose.
That's
going to be in
Arizona. I can see that as a possibility.
At the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. So, it's basically a home game for Arizona, even though it's not at their campus, at their field. It's in Arizona.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of BYU people traveling down there, but I think that Arizona is a better team, and I think that they're going to win that one. I think that at some point during the season, Taysom Hill gets hurt again. And at what point do you give him another medical red shirt? I think he's like his sixth year or something. and then they play the Utes the next week at Utah in Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Hmm.
I think they lose that one.
Yeah.
Turn around and play UCLA at home. UCLA could be the best team in the Pac-12 this year. I still think Stanford will be. But right now, I think UCLA is the highest rated one.
So is that a loss?
I think they lose that one.
0-3 to start out.
And then they got West Virginia the next week.
That'd be a good fight.
In Maryland.
Okay. That's
another basically a home game for West Virginia. Yeah. And I say BYU loses that one because West Virginia usually plays pretty well. And then finally we'll round out September, the last day of September they take on Toledo at home. I do think they win that one.
Still a pretty crappy tryout for the
1-4. 1-4, I say that they go 1-4, and the only team they beat was like not very good. And so I think that right there, I mean, if they really are gonna base it off of this season, I think that BYU won't make it in the Big 12.
Just in time for the Big 12
meeting. I think the Big 12 is smart enough to look past just like this year and look at the history and then kind of the potential future.
Hopefully not recent history.
Well, I mean, it would be fine for BYU's case if they look at recent history, because BYU has beaten Oklahoma. They've beaten Texas twice. In the last 5 years or whatever. Maybe it wasn't 5 years for Oklahoma, but it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've really competed well against the Big 12 teams. But if they're looking at just this year, it's not going to look good, I don't think. Moving on, they take on Michigan State at Michigan State.
That's a loss.
against Mississippi State at home. I think that's a loss.
Really?
Mississippi State's a good team. They're really good. They are missing Dak Prescott, but I'm sure they'll have someone who can step up and have similar production, maybe not as good, but I think that they'll do enough that I think Mississippi State wins that easily. Then they take on Boise State in Boise. I think that's a loss. Boise State's a really good team. At Cincinnati, another loss, I think.
Wow.
Then they take on Southern Utah at home. Should be a win. UMass, if they lose that game, they should just fold their football team. Because
they should just close
UMass
the
is absolutely the worst team in Division
Didn't we
I.
look at the rankings one week?
Yeah, they were like dead the last. And then last they,
yeah, way
they
to
play
pad
us.
That schedule there.
Yeah, and then last they play us, and I think we win that one, especially if I'm right about all these other ones. Because
they'd be so demoralized at that.
At that point, they would have been 4-7 going into their game against us. And I believe that we'll be fighting for the Mountain West Championship at that point. So, I mean, not that that game will really affect it, because I think it's based off your conference schedule, I believe. But either way.
Still, though.
We're still fighting to try to have good season and stuff. I think that they don't have any energy when they get
there. Just imagine if, like, you know, the football gods decide to make it interesting, and they blow the game at UMass, or with UMass, and then they come here. Just
that would be
man.
An extremely
the
embarrassing
loss. The taunting
from
lost our fans,
yeah,
who are already rude to begin with, which
well,
I love.
It's down in Provo this year.
Okay, well, still, I think enough of us would go down just to abuse them verbally for that game.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's how I think the season's going to go down, and it's also a doomsday scenario because they end up 4-8 on the year that they're hoping to get into the Big 12.
That's
kind of not a good look.
Realistic.
Not a good look, and I think it's realistic.
I think of all of our doomsday scenarios, that's had the highest chance since maybe my Cubs collapse. I think that has the highest chance.
I still love that you think that there is a good chance that that could happen.
I've been disappointed enough times by them to know that that's – but, like, yeah, so – I think that's one of the more probable situations I think we've talked about.
Yeah, and if we – okay, so I guess to make it more of a doomsday scenario, let's say that they lose to SUU, they lose to Toledo as well.
Jeez.
Right? Because SUU played us really tough last year. They did lose their three best players to the draft, so they won't be as good. But let's say – if they lose to those guys, let's see, 0-5, 0-6, 0-7, 0-8, 0-9, 0-10. They finish 1-11 with their only win being against UMass.
That would be sweet revenge for the times they scheduled games with teams like Wagoner.
Yeah.
That would be sweet justice for... Sometimes having a little bit of a padded schedule for them.
Yeah,
and
they've had crappy schedules, and I know that's not all on them because it's hard to schedule people towards the end of the season when people are all playing their conference games.
True.
There's no place to schedule you in.
But still. Sweet revenge.
They finally have a really tough schedule this year, and I think that it will backfire severely on them because I bet you most BYU fans think they're going to go in there and go undefeated. And that ain't happening.
Of course they do. Of course.
Yeah, they do. Zoobies.
They cannot ever have a diminished outlook on their team. And that's why they so richly have earned a year like this.
Yeah, and and every game that they'll lose, it'll be because of the refs.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
But crotches will be punched.
Hopefully not. Hopefully they're over that.
I don't. I think the temptation is, although I would love to see another Memphis fist fight, though.
Miami Beach brawl? So I hope that Kalani Sitake, I like him. He was a defensive coordinator at Utah. Then he went for a year to help Gary Anderson, our former coach at Oregon State. And then he got hired this last year to be BYU's head coach. I hope that he does a good job of telling them, like, look, that's not okay. Because he probably witnessed it while he was at Utah. And also he has to know that it's been going on.
And he has to
I'm
tell
hoping
them
that he's
we
like,
all
look,
know
this
it
doesn't
too.
Happen. It's not happening anymore. I really hope that happens because I'm sick of that. And also it reflects badly on my church.
And he's got to let them know that we all see it too.
Yeah.
We're not fooled, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully they get over that. But yeah, that's our doomsday scenario. We're saying BYU's doomsday scenario is going 1-11. And
start saying prayers now, please.
That'd be funny. But yeah, so I think realistically they go 4-8. Okay. But yeah, their doomsday is 1-11. So we'll see how the season goes. I'm kind of excited about
it. Even if it's not the absolute doomsday.
Yeah.
It's still like, well done, everyone.
That's true.
Well done.
That's true.
Ready or not, here comes the main event.
It's go time.
All right, our new segment, the main event, which we've already been kind of doing. We just didn't separate it from everything else. We wanted to make a little intro, which also sounded kind of, it's kind of quiet. I don't know. I'll have to look at it. But maybe it's lighter for people on the the radio. But either way, I do want to say we are going to be talking about USU football for the last 10, 15 minutes, depending on how long we feel like going. But I want to do a plug for the USU Statesman. They are releasing a magazine that is a preview for the season for the Aggies today. They'll be giving them out at the football game. So make sure you look for those when you're there. It's mostly going to be where the students are. So if you're not a student, maybe swing over by where the students go in if you want to grab one. I think they're also going to have some at fans, and I think they're going to set up a table here in the TSC. That was the plan before. I don't know if it still is. I think that it is, but we'll see. But either way, you can check. If you don't get a magazine or you don't want to get a hard copy, you can find it already on the Statesman website under a PDF form that you could either print out if you wanted to or just look at it on your device. But we are going to do a little bit of a preview for that today for them. And like I said, tomorrow we're going to go into more of the broad college football preview. But we lost a lot of guys last year. A few guys get drafted. And we're missing a bunch on the front seven. We want to dive into as much of this as we can. Won't be able to cover everything, so make sure you do look for the magazine. Once again, that we'll be passing out preview magazine at the stadium before the game. So look for that. Also, want to mention if you just tuned in recently, you are listening to The Bullpen on Aggie Radio KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah. And we're about to do our preview for the season for USU football. And so bringing this up, for the quarterback position, I mean, most people already know, but at this point, Kent Myers is our starter. He comes back from starting several of the games last year. I am excited about this because I think he did a really good job last year with the times that he was in there. I thought that there was a bit of a controversy between him and Chucky as to who should play, because you want to let Chucky play because he's done a lot for our program, but at the same time, he just wasn't the guy that he used to be, and so I think that that kind of negatively affected the team in a few games, and especially in the BYU game at the end of the season, I thought that that really hurt us. But this year, there's not really that controversy. We've got Kent Myers. His backup is Damian Hobbs, who is a transfer from University of Oregon. He was with the team last year. So he's also a junior. They're both juniors. And I'm super excited about this. I think Kent Myers is going to do a really good job. We have had problems with injuries in the past. So if for whatever reason he does get injured, I think that we are still in good hands with Damian Hobbs. He's got some experience, and he's got a lot of talent. So I think that we'll be in a good spot. I think that, I mean, obviously, you never know when injuries are going to hit. True. I think we'll be okay, but if we're not, I think we're in okay hands.
I would say at least
Hobbs will do good.
When it comes to the quarterback, at least I've heard good things about our offensive line coming in. I've heard it's really strong. So if that turns out to be the case, I think that'll help out who's ever, back there for us.
Yeah, that's very true. And for our offensive line, we were turning 4 out of 5 starters, I believe, and looking forward to seeing how they work together as a team. Really excited about them. Our third quarterback behind Hobbs is DJ Nelson. He's a sophomore, and he was the holder for field goals and extra points last year. He went to Logan High. He's another guy who I think that has a lot of talent, and if he's forced onto the spot, I think he'll do all right. But yeah, big help either way for the quarterbacks is our running back situation. I think that we're in a good spot there. We have, you know, Devontae Mays. I almost said the wrong name again. Devontae Mays is coming back. At the beginning of the year, Lawan Hunt was starting, and as the season went on, Devontae Mays ended up taking more and more of the carries and did an awesome job. I think he's a great running back, and I'm really excited to see how he does, you know, starting out the season as the starter. He came up just short of 1,000 yards last year. Like I said, he didn't really play as much early on, but he finished the season with 966 yards and 7 touchdowns. With just 6 starts. So he started half the games and he got that much.
That's a pretty sweet year. Or yeah. Half a year, I guess.
I mean, he was playing some in the earlier games. But, you know, as the season went on, as I said, he ended up taking more and more carries and was getting lots of yards and running over guys. I'm really excited to see him play and see what he can do. And the thing about it is tonight where we're playing Weber State, we're heavily favored. We should win by a big margin. Last time we beat them by, it was a huge blowout. I think it was 70-6. Yeah. And so big win for us last time we played them. Obviously different teams now than then, but we should be able to see a lot of different guys and see what they can do for a little bit. We are tonight 21.5-point favorites over Weber State, which is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying we're going to win by more than 3 touchdowns, and like, even when teams are expected to blow other teams out, you don't really get that big of a, you know, a line.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, last year, we had a similar one going into the first game. That didn't go so well. We barely won that game. But I think that we'll be maybe a little bit more focused, a little bit less apprehensive. I think that we'll be able to go full speed on this one, and I think that we won't make the same mistakes.
Yeah, I'm thinking at least 35 points from us this year against them.
Oh, I think more than that.
Very least, yeah.
I'm thinking at least 42, but we'll see. I guess we can make a prediction in a little bit.
Yeah.
Actually, we can just do it now.
Yeah.
So for tonight, to give your prediction for the score, I'm going to say that we win 49-10. I say that they get a touchdown and a field goal, but that's about it. And I think those points come later on in the game, like the third or fourth quarter.
Yeah.
After our starters are out.
Yeah. I'm going to go with just my baseline. I think it's going to be 35-10.
35-10?
Yeah. I don't feel quite a 2-touchdown game for Weber. But, yeah, I think when you said 10, I think that could happen. So.
Yeah.
So.
And anyway, back to running backs. I do think that our offense will be kind of the strength of the team, and we'll get to why when we get to the defense for a little bit. But we've got Kent Myers coming back, Devontae Mays, and also Lawan Hunt, who does a good job in space, are both coming back. You got some other good running backs behind them. If you want to learn about them, go check out this preview magazine. Also, moving on to wide receivers and tight ends, we lost a lot of from the, you know, receiving end last year. You had Hunter Sharp and Devontae Robinson both gone. They were kind of our top guys that we're passing to. But particularly Sharp was way far and away the best receiver that we had. But even that, he didn't have a ton of yards. However, I guess the biggest guy that we have coming back, and I think will do awesome, is our tight end. And that would be Wyatt Houston. And when I was watching him play last year, he just did an awesome job all the time. And he's definitely a mismatch. He's a big guy, and he can move and get open. And, you know, He caught 51 passes and 603 yards and 7 touchdowns in his career so far. He's a senior now. They didn't really use him as much as they should have last year, I think. And I think that they will this year because, A, he's like a huge target and one of the main guys who was a part of the attack last year coming back. But I think that they're going to use him a bunch and look for him to have a big year, almost like Gronkowski-esque, but on the college level. Yeah. I'm obviously not the same level as Gronkowski, but
sure.
But he can kind of be that guy that you can throw to, that you throw it to a bunch of guys, he still comes down with it and can even like break tackles and get away. I'm excited to see him play this year and actually have more of a focus on him. Also, we got Andrew Rodriguez coming back. He saved our bacon the first week of the year last year by returning that punt for a touchdown with very little time left. That finally gave us a lead for the first time in the game. Excited for him. Also, the guy to look out for is Rashad Lewis.
Ah, yes.
You know, he's the son of Ray Lewis, and he's shown a lot so far in their training camp, their preseason stuff. Like, he's shown that he's very reliable about getting catches and stuff. Really excited to see him play. I don't know if he's starting yet, but I think that he will be if he's not by the end of the season. Let me see if it says on here. We've got some guys that we've kind of, you know, missed in the past. For example, Van Leeuwen was the receiver who, you know, has missed a bunch of time because of injuries and whatnot. He's going to be there. I think, you know, despite losing kind of our main target for passing yards, I think that we'll be in good shape. Braylon Roberts is another, you know, big receiver that should make a big, you know, step forward this year. He's 6'3", weighs 200, so he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Huge mismatch on size-wise with a lot of the cornerbacks and defensive backs that we'll see this year. So I'd look for him to break out this year. I think that we'll be good on offense.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more concern on the defensive side of things for having lost so many, especially on the defensive line. Only one returning starter, I guess, is what I'm looking at on the defensive line.
And before we jump onto that, I quickly want to pass over the offensive line. So I guess we are returning 3 starters, but a 4th guy I know played a significant time as well. So got a lot of guys coming back there. When we were talking to Austin Stevens at the Mountain West Media Days in Vegas this summer, he was really excited about working with, you know, the other offensive linemen. Thought they're gelling together pretty well, and that's always something you want to see. So we'll see how they do. I think that they'll be in a good spot. Moving on to the front 7 for us, we lost all four of our linebackers that we would use, our main 4 linebackers.
And then I think, what I'm reading here, like, of the 10 that put in good amount of time, there's only like 3 that we've returned. But I guess also from what you were saying, none of the 4 main ones as well.
Yes, I mean, our linebackers were Nick Vigil, Kyler Fackrell, LT Filiaga, and Torrey Green. And then we also lost Jordan Nielsen and David Walla from the line. And so, yeah, we lost a lot. We lost 6 out of our front 7. It's a ton to replace. And so I think that, you know, I think that we'll have guys that will step up and take those spots and, you know, be at close to as productive, if not as productive, as those guys. Those guys are tough to replace. But I think that we have guys in the waiting that are ready to step up and make a name for themselves. But it might take a couple games for them to really click.
Yeah.
So this first game, our defense might not look as good. We might give up a decent amount of yards. It'll be tough next week against USC for sure, because first off, they're extremely talented. But also, you know, we're still going to be trying to gel as a defense. But I think our offense will be able to offset what our defense is doing for the first little bit. And then if we can get our defense rolling, I think that this will be a really tough team to beat.
And I think that's the great thing about the quality of the offense we're bringing in is that, you know, like you were saying, they'll do so well that it allowed the defense to really find their rhythm, so to speak. So, I'm not worried at all about the win-loss column. I just think that it's good that we have some kind of insurance with the offense.
Yeah, and so the secondary, moving on, is, you know, easily the most experienced part of the defense. But, I mean, we're just talking about the front seven. We only have, you know, one guy back from there, I guess. Yeah. Maybe two. I guess with the linebackers, I'm sure they were moving in and out. But we got Jalen Davis is back and Devin Centers. So there's a cornerback and safety, respectively. They're coming back. They did a good job last year. I'm looking forward to seeing how they do. We got some new guys coming in that we'll see how they fare. I think that's usually a position where we play pretty well. And I'm looking forward to seeing guys step up there as well. Special teams, you know, we got to do a little bit better than we did last year, especially on the field goal kicking side, because it was kind of flipping a coin to see if we'd make field goals last year, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But looking at this, Jake Thompson and Brock Warren are both back, as well as Aaron Dalton, the punter. So we didn't really lose anything as far as our kicking side goes. Andrew Rodriguez is probably going to be back to return punts and kicks as well again. But even if he's not, like, that means that there's someone who does a better job. And he, like I mentioned earlier, he saved our bacon last year. So definitely some questions that need to be answered. I'd like to spend more time on this, but we are unfortunately out of time as it is 10 o'clock. So if you want to read more about the different positions more in depth, and we're just kind of passing over stuff, but look for that magazine from the Statesman today. It should be, no, they're going to be good. Like, I'm looking at it right now on my computer and it's good. Once again, if you don't want to bother trying to find the hard copy of the magazine, or if you aren't able to, even though you tried, just go and check it out on their website, because it's there in PDF form, and that's what I'm looking at, because they haven't been delivered yet. I don't have the physical copy in my hand.
It's probably because technologically deficient people like myself already scooped up the will have already scooped up all the physical copies, but
could be. But they are they're handing them out at the game. Make sure you're there early, and you can grab one if you want one. But again, if you can't, or if you don't feel like you want to, but you want to get the information, it is on their website at the Statesman's website. So, USUStatesman.com. Check it out. Look under their sports. It'll probably be on their main page as well. We want to thank you guys for listening here to the Bullpen. We will be back tomorrow. But next week, we're shifting to be just podcasts, so we won't be coming over live in the future. But you can find out, you can listen to our episodes again, our previous ones, and also, obviously, our podcast. They will be on our website at aggieradio.com. So be on the lookout for those. We'll send out a tweet or whatever, let you guys know what day we'll be releasing those. I think next week will be a little bit different than most weeks, just because I'm going to be gone from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we might release it a little bit earlier than maybe we will most weeks.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for it. I want to thank you guys for listening, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.